So we are kicking off a brand new series today called Daddy Issues. Go ahead and look at the person next to you and tell them Daddy Issues. You're like, what is the deal with that, right? Okay, I get it, you know. If you're sitting there going, why in the world would you call a series by that name? Why in the world would we talk about something like that at church? What does that even mean? All right, we will explain all of that in the next 65 minutes or so, and then I'll wrap things up. I'm kidding. We'll do it about 35. But to get to why we're talking about it here in church and why it would make sense to do a series like this, we got to kind of start with the term itself. So this term daddy issues, I would contend it's something that we are probably all familiar with in concept, even if we don't know the term. All right, daddy issues really simply refers to somebody who has issues with their dad from the past, and those issues are still impacting their lives and their relationships right now in the present. So, for example, this is a 20-year-old lady who's dating a 45-year-old guy. Daddy issues, right? Or this is the young man who is forever bucking up under authority, who cannot stand somebody holding him accountable or telling him what to do with his life because he's got unresolved daddy issues. Or this is the individual who they are so driven to succeed, you get the impression they got something to prove to somebody. You just can't figure out who it is. It's daddy issues. Or this is a person who the first sign that criticism is coming their way, they just melt down. Daddy issues. People who have unresolved issues with their dad from the past, and those issues are impacting their lives and their relationships right here in the present. And what we're going to see over the course of today and over the course of the series is that daddy issues, it can be an earthly thing, and it can be a heavenly thing as well. Now, before we can get to the heavenly part, we got to kind of need to deal today and navigate some of the earthly part. So why is it that daddy issues work the way that they do? Well, how is it that your relationship with your dad in the past can still be haunting you and your relationships in your life right now in the present? It's because, like it or not, dad plays a unique role in our lives. A powerful role in our lives. There are few, if any, people who impact us quite like dad does. And here's the thing, this isn't just a biblical concept. We're gonna get there eventually. This isn't just a church idea. This isn't just something I'm telling you, somebody who's speaking on a Sunday morning. This is something that if you're a student of human behavior, you can't miss this. And it's something that science is telling us today in some really thought-provoking kind of ways. Listen to what some of the research is telling us about dad and our relationship with him. It can mess with your mind. For example, Dr. Peggy Drexler. Anybody heard of Dr. Peggy? I had neither until I read her study. It's in Psychology Today. She looked at 75 high-achieving women, and she studied them and their relationships with their dads. Listen to what she wrote. She said, "What surprised me was how deep the bond is and how powerful it remains throughout their lives and how resilient it can be even when a father has caused it grievous harm. No matter how successful their careers, no matter how happy their marriage is, no matter how fulfilling their lives, women told me that their happiness passes through the filter of their father's reactions." She goes on and she writes, "We know that fathers play a key role in the development and the choices of their daughters. But even for women whose fathers had been neglectful or abusive, I found a hunger for approval. They wanted a relationship with men who did not deserve any relationship at all." Again, these are high-achieving women. These are the kind of women you read about who need a bicycle. You know, these are the kind of women who need a man like a fish needs a bicycle kind of women. And yet, their happiness passes through the filter of their dad's reaction. These are women who have long since left dad's home. They're successful at work. They're successful with their families. And yet, they hunger for his approval. And lest you think this is, you know, well, that's just a woman thing. Guys don't do that. No, not the case at all. This is something that impacts us regardless of our gender. For example, in his book, Man Enough, Dr. Frank Pittman wrote, he said, life for most boys and for many grown men is a frustrating search for the lost father who has not yet offered protection, provision, nurturing, modeling, or especially anointment, otherwise known as the father's approval. Pittman's research showed that people on the other side of the gender equation are every bit as impacted by dad as ladies are. And I'll tell you right now, as a social worker for better than a decade, and now as a pastor for better than a decade, I found that to be true. I cannot tell you how many times I've sat down with grown men who on the outside seem to have it all together, who are successful in their homes, who are successful in their careers, and when they begin to talk about dad, you can sense the frustration and the pain and the disappointment, and they're desperate for something they didn't have. I remember the first time this became real to me. I was working at Boysville of Michigan. It was the first job I had after I finished my undergrad, and Boysville of Michigan is basically jail for kids. All right, so the kids there were really a paradox. On one hand, you've got these young men who are 13 to 17 years old. They're still just kids. And on the other hand, you've got these young men who are well on their ways to being hardened criminals. Like the last group that I worked with, I had two kids that were in for rape. I had a kid who ran his own crack house. I had one of the most talented car thieves you ever wanted to meet. And I had a kid who had murdered his own father, stabbed him to death during an abusive episode. 13 to 17 years old. And they'd get in enough trouble with the law that the system had had enough and they'd send them to Boysville, and our job was to fix them. Crazy times, right? And so the incident I'm thinking about, a young man named Donald is having a behavioral episode, and as you might imagine, the kids that were at Boysville regularly had behavioral episodes, and especially when they were new to the program, they'd have meltdowns. And when they would have a meltdown, they would do crazy things. Like I remember one kid broke out all the windows in the classroom that his group used for school. I remember another kid, his specialty was to get people to laugh when we needed to be serious. He had memorized entire Eddie Murphy routines. You know, I used to say to him, you missed your call. You're a lousy criminal. If you weren't, you wouldn't be here with me today, all right? The fact that you got caught proves you're a lousy criminal. You should try something different. This comedy thing, you've got a future in this. Kids would do gross things. Remember this one kid, he snuck into the dorms in the middle of the night and did an upper decker on all the toilets. And if you don't know what an upper decker is, you don't want to, all right? If I've created a cognitive itch you just have to scratch, you can look it up on Google after church today, but I warned you, you don't want to know, all right? Anyway, Donald's having a total meltdown. Total meltdown. And the treatment system is positive peer culture, which means that all the kids are supposed to help all the other kids. So the kids are standing around in a circle, and they're trying to talk Donald back to some sense of normalcy. And Donald, all of a sudden, he just kind of takes the conversation in a direction nobody anticipated. Starts going on this rant about how when he was a kid, you know, he's 16 years old, but when he was a kid, he remembered this summer where he didn't have any shoes. Mom is strung out on drugs. She's not working. Any money that she gets her hands on goes to her habit. Dad is God only knows where. Hasn't seen dad, and he can't remember when. And so he's running around the neighborhood all summer with no shoes and bare feet. And the other kids in the neighborhood are picking up on it, and they're picking on him for it. And then out of the blue, Daddy shows up. And he takes him shopping, and he buys him an outfit, and he buys him a brand new pair of off-brand shoes. And Donald talked about how he wore that outfit out because he wore it so often. And every day he proudly wore those shoes, even though the kids still made fun of him because the shoes were off-brand. And he didn't care because those shoes were from Daddy. And as Donald is talking, you could feel the atmosphere in the room change. There's this weight that came to the conversation that everybody could feel, but that few people could articulate. And these kids, these hard kids, they couldn't look him in the face. Because he's describing what so many of them in some way or another had lived through themselves. And I'll never forget what Henry said. Henry was probably, of the 3.5 years I spent at Boysville, he was the most intimidating, violent, hardened kid that I ran into. In this rare moment, the mask of brutality comes down off of Henry's face, and his eyes are welling up with tears, and he looks at Donald and he says to him, he says, "Don't go there, dog. Leave that one alone. Don't go there. It doesn't matter how old we are. It doesn't matter what our gender is, what our station in life is. There is something unique and powerful about our relationship with Dad. It's simply how it works." Now, before we talk about why, really quickly, let me just avoid some difficult conversations at the front door. So before you come to me at the front door and accuse me of being a misogynist, before you poke your finger in my chest and say, "Hey, what about moms?" All right? Don't misunderstand me, all right? I'm not trying to downplay the role that moms play in our lives. I had a mom. I loved my mom, all right? In fact, moms rock. Let's hear for moms. All right, there you go. Moms are great, all right? If not for mom, we would have starved or frozen to death, right? You know, Dad would have told you, just rub some dirt in it. Not saying there's anything wrong with moms. I'm just saying there's something unique and something different about our relationship with Dad. Now, why is that? Why is that? I think in part, it's because of what our relationship with Dad is supposed to be a picture of. I think one of the reasons that our relationship with Dad is so unique, it is so impactful, it's because of what our relationship with Dad is supposed to be a picture of. The Apostle Paul alludes to this. Listen to what Paul is going to say here. We're going to look at a couple different passages. Just listen to what he says about those of us who are following Jesus and what our relationship with God is supposed to be like. Paul writes, he says, "For those who are led by the Spirit of God," the Spirit here being the Holy Spirit, he says, "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you a slave so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by Him, by this Holy Spirit, we cry, 'Abba, Father.' The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit." The Spirit of God testifies with the immaterial part of who we are, that we are God's children. Or elsewhere, Paul will quote God speaking to us. And God will say to us, he says, "I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." The Spirit Himself, the Holy Spirit Himself, testifies with the immaterial part of who we are, that we are God's children. In other words, there is something deep inside of every single one of us, something inescapable inside of every single one of us that longs, that yearns to cry out to God and say, "Abba, Daddy, Father." And God Himself longs to say to you, "I'm a father to you. You're my daughter. You're my son." See, part of what Paul is getting after here is we all have a dad, we know that. But we're meant to know that we all have a father as well. Every single one of us knows we had a dad here on earth, but every single one of us is meant to know that we have a father in heaven. See, one of the reasons that relationship with Dad is so powerful is because of what it's meant to be a picture of. Your relationship with dad is meant to be a picture of your relationship with your father. Your relationship with your dad here on earth is meant to be a different world indicator of your relationship with your father in heaven. Your relationship with your dad here on earth, it's supposed to point you to the fact that you have a father in heaven who longs to call you his son, who longs to call you his daughter. And when we fail to see that, when we fail to realize that, it creates issues for us. Divine issues. Divine daddy issues, if you would. See, this is the reason, this is one of the reasons why your relationship with your dad impacts you so much. It's because it's meant to be a picture of your relationship with your heavenly father. Now, as we say this, some of you may pick up on a problem with that whole thing. Because you see, we had different kinds of dads, different people here in this room. Some of us, we had good dads. Dads who were present, dads who invested in us, dads who were involved. Some of us had dads who protected us and prepared us, got us ready to be adults. Some of us had dads who believed in us, who loved in us, who had confidence in us, and they let us know that was the case. Some of us had great dads. But even those of us who had good dads, dad wasn't perfect. He had holes in his game. And even though dad may have been a good dad, we still feel those holes. And others of us, we didn't have good dads. We had bad dads. We had dads who left us feeling forsaken. Dads who were absent. Dad didn't want to be there at home, and he wasn't. He went someplace else. Or some of us had dads who were absent because death took him. Or some of us had dads who were absent because the government or the military made that choice for him. But for whatever reason, he wasn't there. Or some of us had stingy dads. Dads who didn't give us anything if they could help it, and whenever they did, it felt like they were giving it begrudgingly. Or some of us had dads who just, they were passive. Sure, dad was there, but he was there like a bump on a log is there. Wasn't invested, wasn't involved, didn't seem to care, never really lifted a finger on our behalf. Some of us had dads who didn't seem to want us. We grew up with this sense that we were an accident, that he could take us back if he could, and while he tolerated our presence, you just tell, he couldn't wait till we were out of there. Some of us had dads who didn't believe in us. Sometimes they just came right out and said, I don't think you're ever going to amount to much of anything. Other times you just sense the disdain. Some of us had good dads, but some of us had dads who left us feeling forsaken. And you see, if my relationship with dad is supposed to point me to my relationship with my father, and I had a lousy dad, I had a dad for whatever reason left me feeling forsaken. That can create issues for me. It can make it very difficult for me to see God as my father. And when I can't see God for who he is as my father, it'll shackle me in life. It'll leave me broken in deep ways. It'll leave me floundering. Conversely, though, if I can get to a place where I can truly see who God is as my father, it can set me free. It can heal those wounds. It can help me find purpose. Now, what we've been talking about here, David writes about this. In the book of Psalm, David captures this idea. Here's how he expresses it. He says, though my father and mother forsake me, yet the Lord will receive me. This word that we have translated here is forsaken. It captures this idea of I've got somebody I should be able to count on, somebody I should be able to rely on, somebody who should be there for me. And they're not. They let me down. They leave me hanging. They leave me forsaken. See, David says, though my mother, though my father forsake me. Because here's the deal. The relationship that can make it difficult for us to see God clearly, it can be dad, but it doesn't have to be. It can be dad, it can be mom, it can be some other authority figure in our lives. There's a wide range of folks who can do this for us. More often than not, if somebody's going to keep us from seeing our Father in heaven correctly, more than often than not, it does tend to be dad, but it doesn't have to be him. And so we're leaning into that particular relationship this morning. But it can be a number of folks. And when we have someone in our lives who we should be able to count on, and they're an authority figure in our lives, and they leave us feeling forsaken, it creates this barrier that keeps us from seeing God. It's a timeshare in the Crystal Hotel deal, right? No. Let me explain. So my dad's dad, Grandpa Bill, loved to travel. Like, it was his thing. It's what he did. Traveled all over the globe. He belonged to a group called the Nomads. They had their own private jet. These people were serious about travel, right? So Grandpa Bill traveled everywhere. My parents finally get enough money to go on their first trip. They're going to travel. And so they go to Grandpa Bill and they say, hey, you've been everywhere. Where should we go? And Grandpa Bill, without hesitation, says, you need to go to Ixtapa, Mexico. It's my favorite place on the planet. So my parents booked a trip, went to Ixtapa. Fell in love with the place. And then, a couple years later, my parents said to my wife, Laura, and I, hey, we're going to Ixtapa again. We'd like to take you guys with us. Our treat, what do you say? Yeah, we're going to go, right? Somebody offers you a free trip to Mexico, you say yes. That's the right answer. Not as stupid as we look up here. So, we go to Ixtapa. We fall in love with the place. The first few years we went to Ixtapa, we stayed at the Crystal Hotel. Now, the neat thing about the Crystal is it's kind of shaped like a triangle with a point pointing out towards the ocean, which means it doesn't matter if you're on the north side, south side of the hotel, you can see the ocean. And especially on the north side of the hotel, you had this view all the way down the beach. You could see all the way down to the marina. It was amazing. Just loved being on the north side of the hotel until the timeshare came. 1 year, they built this massive timeshare right next door to the Crystal. And now when you've got a room on the north side of the hotel, you know what you see? Timeshare, not much anything else, right? I mean, you look north, they're just timeshare. There are relationships that we can have in our lives that are meant to point us to who God is. But when we wind up feeling forsaken in those relationships, they keep us from seeing God for who he really is. They erect this barrier and we can't see God for who he is. Or worse yet, they will erect a false image of who God really is. An image or a barrier that'll keep us from seeing him and keep us from experiencing him. Though God is loving, trustworthy, and dependable, we can't see it. All we see is the blockade. All we see is the flawed view. But in this passage, David's trying to help us break through that. He says, though my father and mother forsake me, yet the Lord will receive you. That word that we have translated there is receive. This is important. It means to draw close. It means to recover, to put back together, to restore. You see, even if the blessing of dad escaped you, your Father in heaven longs for you to find his love. Even if dad is past, he's gone. Your Father in heaven longs to hold you close and lift you up. Even if there was a breakdown in your relationship with your dad and you feel like there's no way you can put the pieces back together again, you can experience the miracle of recovery in your relationship with your Father in heaven. Even if you still bear the wounds from dad, your Father in heaven can heal those. Yet, though my father and mother have forsaken me, yet the Lord will receive me. He will draw me close. He will put me back together. He will restore me. He'll receive me. See, understanding who our Father in heaven is, it is so important. I think that's one of the reasons Jesus talked about it so much. You know what the number one image that Jesus uses to describe who God is? It's Father. In fact, I read one source that said in the four books that serve as biographies of Jesus' life, Jesus refers to God as Father 189 times. More than any other term, more than any other distinction, more than any other descriptor, Jesus uses Father to describe God. Because Jesus understood. He understood a right knowledge of our identity of sons and daughters. A right knowledge of who God is that opens prison doors, that heals wounds. It propels us forward in purposes in our lives. It's absolutely huge. And so that's going to be our goal for this series. Our goal is going to be to tear down the barrier, to tear down the wall that keeps us from seeing who God is, or to tear down the false image that's left us with a wrong idea of who God is. Our goal is going to be to see who our Father truly is and what it means that we're His sons and that we're His daughters. Our prayer in this series is going to be something akin to what Paul prayed. Here's what Paul said. He said, I keep asking the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, that He may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Why? So that you may know Him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in His holy people, and His incomparably great power for us who believe. See, our prayer over the course of this series is that you're going to see God better. That you're going to see Him for who He is as Father. That the eyes of your heart would be enlightened in such a way where it tears down that false image that's been erected. And instead, you see the kind of hope and riches and healing and freedom and purpose and truth that comes with you being God's son or God's daughter. Each week, we're going to come back and go, okay, who is God as Father? Not the false image. Let's remove the barrier. Who is God as our Father? And what's it mean that I'm His son? What's it mean that I'm His daughter? And what we're going to talk about here, it's going to be relevant to every single one of us, whether we had a good dad or a bad dad. Because, you see, even if you had a good dad, you don't want God to be like your dad. You want God to be infinitely greater than your dad. And the good news is that He is. God, your Father in heaven isn't just a reflection of your earthly dad. He's the perfection of your earthly dad. He's so much more than your dad ever could be. And if you had a bad dad, and you're thinking, there's just no way in light of this relationship I can think about God as Father and have this thing be healthy, I would encourage you to think again. Even if there is a wake of pain and frustration and difficulty that trails behind you and your relationship with Dad, I will wager that you can imagine what it would be like if it had been different. In fact, I'd even bet, and I'm cheap, I don't bet, but I'd take this bet. I'd bet you already have. I bet there are times where you imagine what it would have been like if you felt Dad's love. You imagine what it would have been like if He had engaged you or encouraged you or been interested in you. I'll bet you've already imagined what it would have been like if he'd have come home and asked you, how'd your day go? And if he had offered to help. And if he'd protected you and defended you when you needed that. And if he'd have believed in you along the way. See, again, the good news. Everything you imagined that your dad would be and he wasn't, your Father in heaven is, and he's more. He's more. God's not just an oversized version of your dad. He's the perfect father you've always dreamed of. Your Father in heaven's a healer. He can heal the wounds. Your Father in heaven, he longs to pick you up and draw you near. Your Father in heaven, he can make things new again. You can trust him. His arms are strong and his heart is good. He longs for you to know that he wants to be a father to you. And that you are meant to be his son or his daughter. And it's our prayer over the course of this series, you're going to discover exactly what that looks like for God and what it looks like for you.